News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, and live online. Go to rightsideradio.org and click listen live. And wherever you is, there we is. Doesn't matter. We got folks all over the place that listen to our show. Hey, listen, by the way, you may have heard some of the ads running for Just Love Coffee Cafe. That's so cool to have them on board now. And Just Love Coffee Cafe, by the way, I mean, I love their specialty coffees. They've got that unique kind of waffled menu where they cook them in the waffle iron and all that. And then on top of that, too, one of the things that Just Love Coffee specializes in, and I love this, is that they put a lot back into their communities. Like right now, their Madison location coming up on, I think it's Saturday the 16th. Yeah, Saturday the 16th, the Bob Jones High School Band is going to be out there at their location to raise money for their program. And that's just cool that they don't just sell their goods and services to the community. They give back to the community. That's one of the best things about Just Love Coffee. Check them out, Just Love Coffee Cafe. And they got locations on South Memorial Parkway in Huntsville and on Hughes Road in Madison. So folks, listen, we've been talking about a lot of stuff right now, and I'm going to go ahead and take a call right off the bat. If you want to call in, 866-494-9866. I'm going to get into China here for a minute, but first I got to take a call from my buddy Jeff from Indiana. Hey, Jeff, Phil Williams here, Right Side Radio, man. How you doing today?
Pretty good, Phil.
Hey, good.
I think we should, instead of spend the $3 trillion or 20, let's just go for $20 trillion and go ahead and collapse the United States quickly. I mean, it's inevitable. It's coming. It just might as well speed it up and see where everything lands after that.
So you're not in favor of lingering death, financially speaking. You want to go ahead and just pull the plug and shut things down now. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, let's go ahead and do it while we have our strengths, what we got now, and everything in the military and stuff. What's this world going to look like, and what's these people that's got all their hands out, getting all this money, going to do whenever the money dries up and quits, and then they don't have any food? There's going to be no medical, there's going to be no energy, there's going to be nothing, basically. And the only ones that's going to control the that had their food stocks and their weapons cached and everything, they're the ones who's going to survive in this mess, I think. And when they come, trying to get your food stocks and everything, and people start getting shot, it might be a wake-up call.
Well, I hope that the preppers in the audience don't have to ever get down to using their war stock, if you know what I mean. Jeff, I think if we just cut back on our international aid, like maybe we just paid it out every other year instead of every year for about 5 years, we might even pay off most of that national debt.
We haven't been paying on it, and it just keeps going up. When is the end? And when it does end, you're going to have to tax all these people, and these people are going to be, virtually they can print money forever. When it takes $1,000 to buy a loaf of bread, like in Venezuela, what are you going to do then? If you had, say you're a millionaire, your millionaire would only buy you a couple Walmart sacks of groceries now.
Well, and that's true.
That's what it's going to come to.
And one of my concerns, too, is that if they keep on down this track, that we're going to wind up seeing the inability to service our debt. And when you default on the debt, then the market collapses, and then international markets begin to react negatively. That can also spark international conflict. I mean, it's not good. Not good.
Yeah, the world will completely collapse. I mean, and China will probably come out on top.
Well, China owns a lot of our debt. They got some of their own problems right now, but China still owns a bunch of our debt. Hey, Jeff, that was a perfect segue for me for the next section, and I appreciate your call, man. You be careful on the road. We know you're driving a lot. So, Jeff from Indiana, appreciate you calling in, as always, brother. Stay strong, Right Side Ruffian. So, listen, folks, that was a perfect segue. Jeff did not mean to set me up, but he did, and I'm going to take it and run. So I'm going to spend a few minutes, because that's all I got left, really, a few minutes talking to you about the significance of what's happening in Taiwan and the rise of China. And you may say, Phil, why are we talking about China? We're talking about, because it matters to us here in Alabama. Are you aware of how much comes in that we rely upon that is made in China? Or for that matter, the fact that Taiwan, which is the small island nation that still to this day China believes is a breakaway state or portion of its own country, that if China proceeds forward like it does, appear to be doing right now, that the vast majority of the world's microchips are actually made in Taiwan. I mean, there are things. Taiwan appears to be a small island. I mean, the size of its population and economy, they're actually significant, though, in the world economy overall. And their location, I want you to understand the perspective here. If you were to look at a map, picture the east side, like say, let's say, for instance, the east side of the United States. Imagine if that was the east side of China. That's about what it is. They have the South China Sea off of their eastern shores, and out to the side of that, to the east of that, a short distance away, is Taiwan, similar to what we have like with Cuba on our southern hemisphere below Florida. All right, it's very close, and Taiwan is considered to be a breakaway republic by China itself, and they are determined that one day they're going to take it back. And we have often said, politically, militarily, diplomatically, that we will be there for Taiwan, except what we're seeing right now is that the Biden administration, it's questionable. Will the Biden administration do that? Well, China is seeing what happened in Afghanistan. And the indications are right now is that China is seeing less and less of a reason not to go ahead and bow up. Now, if you're not familiar with this, China is taking such steps right now. They are even out there in the South China Sea building islands because that way they can move their international boundaries out further into the waters. Because your international waters are your domestic waters are considered to be based upon where your landmass is. And if they build an island further out, they extend their own limits. And what they're trying to do right now is they're trying to become far more strategically oriented into what has often been seen as international waters. And on Sunday, just this past Sunday, China sent 16 of its warplanes into Taiwan's air defense identification zone. 93 warplanes in all over a three-day period. 3 days in a row, China sends 93 warplanes, most of which were fighters and fighter bombers, with several anti-submarine aircraft and a few others. I'm just telling you, folks, that's not one plane, an accident. Two, three, four planes, provocation. 93 planes, war footing. Testing the systems, seeing where the weaknesses are, probing to know how they will get flash-pointed or painted with the anti-aircraft systems. Taiwan has a strategic value for the U.S. itself. Do not mistake this, all right? I'm just telling you, in the world scheme of things, if China moves in and takes Taiwan, then we are looking right now at what could be a flashpoint to war. And I don't say that just lightly. I mean, strategically, there are a number of reasons why China means something to us. First of all, they are a barrier to the Chinese Navy. They're a barrier to the Chinese Navy. They give us the ability to have landmass that is considered non-Chinese, that gives a barrier to the Chinese Navy, which is one of the largest navies in the world. Number two, their location makes them an important base in the event that we need basing ourselves in that part of the world, which would be provocable, I'm sure, but nonetheless, there they are. Number three, they're a key ally for regional issues in that whole area, along with Australia, India, Japan. They're an important part of the Indo-Pacific, and that's got to be taken into consideration. And number fourth, or the fourth thing on the list, is that every single day that Taiwan exists is proof of what the Chinese people should be looking at as an opportunity to live. In other words, they're right there, right across the waters. They're free. And they are basically of the same Chinese descent, but they have a free press. They have a robust civil society, they have religious liberties, and they respect human rights. But right now, what you're seeing is we don't know what the Biden administration would do. Copper, you got clips one and two ready for me? Let's do this. I'm going to do clip one because this is about 50 seconds long, but it's General Jack Keane. Copper, go ahead and play clip one of General Keane.
Department of Defense saying U.S. commitment to Taiwan is rock solid. That is just crossing at the moment. You've been watching these developments. What do you think Beijing's up to?
Well, clearly, over the last year, there's been significant diplomatic, economic, and military intimidation of Taiwan. But it is no doubt, I mean, with 90 aircraft, over 90 aircraft this weekend, 50 plus today, since the collapse of Afghanistan, it's been obvious, but President Xi has accelerated the military intimidation and as well as the psychological intimidation. They are blasting into Taiwan the fact that the United States did not defend adequately a 20-year ally in Afghanistan and walked away and surrendered the country. And that is what they're saying your fate will be as long as you stay aligned with the United States. So, yeah, this is significant what's just taken place. I think President Xi is likely moving up the...
Well, and I think what he's about to say was he's moving up his war footing. In other words, he's moving up his capabilities testing. He's moving up his own planning. Now China has issues right now. China has what they call the Belt and Road projects going on right now. They're trying to sort of build their way across the Indo-Pacific. And they are doing it in such a way as to try and curry favor with other nations in and around. But it's not working out real well. Their own economy is also suffering. Their productivity is down. And there is also unrest with the Uyghurs. And they have some disturbances on their western frontier as well. But China, nonetheless, is what we call, here's one of those terms you can use in those water cooler conversations if you want to sound authoritative, say China is a near peer adversary. What that basically means is in the world, there are very few that can measure up to the United States' capabilities. China is very close. China is what we call a near peer. China is doing things right now, like, for instance, its Chinese the nuclear weapons arsenal is growing faster than we would have ever imagined. And so a story that came out of a Heritage Foundation, I'm going to tell you about when we come back from this short break, that literally China's nuclear weapons arsenal is growing faster than we could have expected. They are literally on pace to put themselves at parity almost with Russia and the United States. That's not good, folks. You got Taiwan asking for Australia's support now because they don't know what they can do with Biden. And folks, I'm just telling you, it gets deeper. And we have to keep an eye on this flashpoint because China's not going to be content until they are the world power. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. We cover all the issues here. We're running down the list of the IRS, big tech, China. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Coming down to the close of the hour, some of you folks are already in the car and headed towards the house. Blessings on you as you hit the road. Hey, listen, folks, I'm going to wrap up this section right now. I don't feel like I gave this near enough coverage for the day, but if I had to say there was any one thing that happens on the international scene right now that you have to keep an eye on, it's going to be this. China appears to be on the rise and is threatening Taiwan. 95 warplane incursions into Taiwan's air defense zone here in the last few days. 95. That's unbelievable. That's more than a provocation. That's called probing. That's called scouting. That's called checking out how the air defense systems respond to those multiple incursions. And I'm just going to tell you, this is big news. And so right now, you've got China's nuclear weapons arsenal growing fast. I'm looking at Peter Brooks, had a story that came out just this morning in Heritage Foundation. And he literally says that a study right now shows that in the midst of everything else, that China's nuclear weapons arsenal is growing faster than we could have imagined. And the public details are still kind of few, but what they see, though, is that China is looking to develop what they call novel nuclear weapons, a lot like what Russia's been doing. Things like intercontinental hypersonic missiles, nuclear-powered intercontinental torpedoes, nuclear-powered cruise missiles. It says that they have built like 300 new ICBM silos. And if all those land-based silos are outfitted, then it's going to mean that China is near parity to Russia and the United States' nuclear capabilities. On top of that, you have the massive incursions into Taiwan's airspace. On top of that, you have the fact that China is appearing to make inroads into Afghanistan since we vacated it. On top of that, you have things like the fact that China has been developing systems to take out our GPS satellites. On top of that, you have things like the fact that China has been building islands in the South China Sea in order to push out its own domestic waters. On top of that, you have the fact that they do not see any strength of position in the Biden administration. General Jack Keane, who I had his quote a minute ago, Copper, I know you got clip two ready. So I want to conclude this piece, this segment with this. General Jack Keane, who is one of the most prolific guys in terms of having knowledge of international and military relations and policies and capabilities. I mean, he gives commentary that's so in the weeds sometimes that he says things I didn't know existed. He says he's not even sure. He's not even sure if Biden would hold to the commitment to protect Taiwan. Go ahead and play clip two.
The last condition is the United States. Will the United States come to Taiwan and actually defend Taiwan? That is a calculus which will influence his decision on whether to take action or not. That's just the facts of it.
And what do you think the answer is to that? You know, when the Defense Department says our commitment is rock solid, do you think it is?
You know, I'm just not sure. It has nothing to do with the Defense Department. It has to do with the decision maker. We just saw an awful strategic decision that led to the surrender of Afghanistan to a terrorist organization. And that decision is resident in one person, the President of the United States. So regardless of the Pentagon statements, and I appreciate those statements, mm-hmm. and certainly they are helpful, it really comes down to President Xi's assessment of President Biden.
You're talking about...
And what Bill Hemmer started to say was, you're talking about potential war. And he said that's always a possibility. So, folks, listen, I'm going to wrap that up. I'm just going to say this. All you right-side ruffians out there, all you folks who watch the world around you, you have to watch it bigger than your own bubble sometimes. And one of the things that you have to watch right now is what's happening with the IRS in D.C. It appears the IRS wants to go on steroids and have access to your bank accounts. You're going to have to watch what's happening with big tech, because right now the studies show that the vast majority of citizens in this nation get their news between Twitter and Facebook. And then you're going to also have to watch things on the international scale, like China and China's military incursions into Taiwan airspace and the fact that it's trying to build out its own borders and basically get itself on nuclear parity level with Russia and ourselves. They are our near-peer adversary, and you have to keep an eye on what they're doing. And they don't see any reason right now to be worried about President Biden, because they watched what he did in Afghanistan. Well, that's been a full day. That's been a robust day. I mean, between that and Congressman Brooks coming on today and talking about some of the things that have happened up in D.C. and giving us that ground floor perspective of what's happening with big spending and attempts by liberals to run the debt ceiling, you know, completely into oblivion. I mean, good Lord, it has been. Did we just, Copper, was that only 3 hours? Did we just do 3 hours, or was that like 3 days?
It's been a lot.
I think we just compressed. This is like one of those shows. It's kind of like, you know, compressing the stuff like condensed milk in a can. All right, we packed a whole lot more in than you would have ever expected. All right, folks. Well, that was a full day, but I got the best audience in the world, so I know you kept up. All right, listen. We'll be back tomorrow, 2 p.m. with stuff that will just boggle your minds. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Coming up next, you got the great one, Mark Levin. He'll be here, and we'll be back tomorrow, 2 p.m., Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Have a great night.